The National Broadcasting Company again interrupts all its programs for a historic broadcast. Neville Chamberlain has just resigned as Prime Minister of Great Britain. He is about to address the British Empire. NBC turns to London.
Early this morning, without warning or excuse, Hitler added another to the horrible crimes which already disgrace his name by a sudden attack on Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg. In all history, no other man has been responsible for such a hideous total of human suffering and misery as he. He has chosen a moment when perhaps it seemed to him that this country was entangled in the throes of a political crisis, and when he might find it divided against itself. If he has counted on our internal divisions to help him, he has miscalculated the mind of this people. I am not now going to make any comment upon the debate in the House of Commons, which took place on Tuesday and Wednesday last. But when it was over, I had no doubt in my mind that some new and drastic action must be taken if confidence was to be restored to the House of Commons and the war carried on with the vigor and energy which are essential to victory. What was that action to be? It was clear that at this critical moment in the war, what was needed was the formation of a government which would include members of the Labour and Liberal oppositions and thus present a united front to the enemy. What had to be ascertained was the conditions which would be necessary to enable such a united government to be formed. And to this question, I devoted myself with the assistance of some of my colleagues yesterday afternoon. By the afternoon of today, it was apparent that the essential unity could be secured under another Prime Minister, though not under myself. In those circumstances, my duty was plain. I sought an audience of the King this evening and tendered to him my resignation, which His Majesty has been pleased to accept. His Majesty has now entrusted to my friend and colleague, Mr. Winston Churchill, the task of forming a new administration on a national basis. And in this task, I have no doubt he will be successful. For that purpose, my other colleagues in the government have intimated to me that they will place their resignations in Mr. Churchill's hands, but they will, of course, retain their present offices pending the appointment of the new government. I should perhaps say to you that Mr. Churchill has expressed to me his strong desire that I should be a member of the War Cabinet, and I have told him that I will gladly give him any assistance that I can in that capacity. Now, as this is my last message to you from number 10 Downing Street, there are one or two things I should like to say to you. During the period, it's almost exactly 3 years, that I have been Prime Minister, I've borne a heavy load of anxiety and responsibility. As long as I believed there was any chance of preserving peace honorably, I strove to take it. When the last hope vanished and war could no longer be avoided, I strove equally hard to wage it with all my might. Perhaps you remember that in my broadcast of September the 3rd last year, I told you that we should be fighting against evil things. My words have proved to be insufficient to describe the vileness of those who have now staked everything on the great battle just beginning. Perhaps it may at least be some relief to know that this battle, though it may last for days or even weeks, has ended the period of waiting and uncertainty. For the hour has come when we are to be put to the test, as the innocent people of Holland and Belgium and France are being tested already. And you and I must rally behind our new leader, and with our united strength and with unshakable courage, fight and work until this wild beast that has sprung out of his lair upon us be finally disarmed and overthrown.
You have been listening to the Right Honorable Neville Chamberlain.
From London, via shortwave radio, you have just heard a worldwide broadcast by Neville Chamberlain, who just resigned as Prime Minister of Great Britain. Now for more news. From the Associated Press, you have heard Neville Chamberlain's farewell speech as Prime Minister. Thus, hard-hitting Winston Churchill becomes Britain's Prime Minister as England braced herself to fight back at Adolf Hitler's triple Blitzkrieg against the Low Countries, Belgium, Holland, and Luxembourg. The German High Command and the Berlin radio boasted that Nazi invaders had broken resistance everywhere. The radio asserted that 100 enemy planes had been shot down in aerial conflict or bombed to bits. By contrast, Belgium claims her gallant defenders had stopped the German onrush a few hundred yards inside the frontier. The Dutch said at least 70 German planes had been shot down, 4 armored cars destroyed, and the German parachute troops had been swiftly surrounded and captured. Germany's plane and parachute troops attempting to fight their way through Rotterdam were driven back into a dangerous position late today by the attacks of reinforced Dutch troops and the pounding of Dutch artillery. Strong detachments of Netherlands Marines made repeated rushes into the enemy positions on the River New Maas, and the fighting was fierce. Dutch incendiary shells set fire to the large Maas Hotel from which the Germans were operating on the left bank of the stream which divides Amsterdam. The fire spread rapidly, threatening the thin German lines. One German transport plane alighting on the river was damaged badly when it hit a boat. Back to German claims. The Berlin radio announced that German troops reached the Isel River east of Arnhem early in the afternoon Friday and crossed the Maas River on Dutch territory in several places, the radio said. Maastricht and bridges over the Albert Canal west of the city are in German hands. The Albert Canal comprises part of Belgium's great defense system. Malmedy has been taken. Farther south, the troops moving forward through Luxembourg have crossed the Belgian frontier. At almost the same time as Chamberlain's resignation was being announced at No. 10 Downing Street, a communique reported Britain's warplanes had been constantly in action over the Western Front, carrying the air war to the Germans, while Allied land forces moved across the Belgian border toward the invaders who struck this morning at the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. Chamberlain's fall from power in the midst of the Western European blitzkrieg, loosed by Hitler, came as a result of the Allied failure in Norway. The most Chamberlain could muster in the House of Commons at the end of a 2-day debate on that failure was an 81-vote margin against a normal margin of more than 200, and the demand grew that either he get out or at the least drastically reorganize his government. In the midst of a series of conferences today of the War Cabinet, chiefs of staff and other leaders, the Labour Party, the government's bitterest critic in the House of Commons, announced a unanimous decision to join a new cabinet if someone besides Chamberlain were Prime Minister. Churchill, the new man for the post, has been entrusted progressively with more and more of the burden of Britain's conduct of the war. One of the most popular personalities in British official life, he is an old-time foe of Hitler's expansion of power. Long before there was any recognition of the Air Force the Nazis had developed secretly, Churchill, then the most voluble critic of the British government, was crying in the House of Commons for Britain to recognize danger in Europe. Chamberlain saw the King for 20 minutes this afternoon and was followed to Buckingham Palace by Churchill. More bulletins. Brussels. Belgian officials announced today that 8 German planes were shot down during the day. Madrid. Adolf Hitler's latest adventure has not shaken Spain's determination to remain neutral. It was indicated in official quarters tonight. Nancy, 16 persons were killed and 30 injured in bombing raids by German planes during the day in the Nancy region. Civil and military authorities announced tonight. Two new alarms were sounded from 3 p.m. to 4:35 p.m. and from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., during which several bombs were dropped. Military authorities said a schoolhouse was among the buildings destroyed. And another bulletin from Berlin. An official announcement tonight said almost 100 enemy airplanes either had been shot down in aerial battles or destroyed on the ground. 7 German airplanes were reported missing, in addition to 2 known to have made forced landings, it said. Now the developments in Washington. President Roosevelt today expressed full sympathy with Queen Wilhelmina's proclamation that Germany violated a solemn promise by invading Holland, but said there was no change in the United States' neutral status. As if to emphasize his opinion of the German invasion of Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg, the president told reporters who jammed his office to the walls that they could put these words in direct quotations. I think I can say personally I am in full sympathy with the very excellent statement that was given out, the proclamation by the Queen of the Netherlands, and let it go at that. It is worth reading. In her proclamation read to the Dutch people over the radio, the Queen also addressed a flaming protest against this unexampled violation of good faith and what is considered decent between civilized nations. There was not much else he could say about the situation abroad, Mr. Roosevelt asserted in response to other questions. It spoke for itself, he said. Then a reporter asked whether the chief executive would care to say at this time what you think the chances are that we can keep out of the war. No, Mr. Roosevelt replied, explaining that would be speculative. In other words, he hastened to add, don't for heaven's sake say that that means that we may get in. To do so, the president said, would be riding completely off on a limb. He added that he saw no change in the situation in that respect. Another reporter asked whether there has been any change since the president's speech regarding a peace blackout, referring to the president's speech to the nation immediately after the outbreak of war in September, in which Mr. Roosevelt said that there would be no blackout of peace in the United States. The president replied that there had been no change. In response to another question, Mr. Roosevelt said that a German pledge at the outbreak of the current war not to bomb open, unfortified towns was being considered in the light of reports of the bombings of such cities. A few minutes later, Secretary Hull told reporters that the State Department was gathering. A bulletin from Willemstad, Netherlands, West Indies. The governor today proclaimed a state of war against Germany in the territory of Curaçao, a possession of the Netherlands. It was the first such declaration in the American hemisphere. Now the news from Sweden. The Swedish press today criticized Germany's invasion of the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg as an outrageous violation of neutrality. While refugees still streamed across the border into Sweden from German-invaded Norway, the latest Nazi move shoved the Norwegian campaign out of the Scandinavian news picture. The newspaper Aftonbladet observes, Germany has attacked and, as an excuse for her outrageous violation of neutrality, stated that she had absolute evidence of plans for a French-British attack against Germany by way of Holland and Belgium. This method is well known by now. Another newspaper declared that the attack has this time been started with brutal accuracy, characteristic of Germany's plans of war. England has been busy publicly washing her dirty linen, this newspaper continued. The disorganization which possibly could have been a result of this among England's highest leaders has given the Germans a favorable opportunity for a surprise. And so for the moment we end our news summary, following Mr. Chamberlain's valedictory. The National Broadcasting Company and its associated stations from coast to coast have been continuously on the air since last night when Belgium and Holland were invaded. While the European turmoil continues, last-minute news will be flashed over this network. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA, building Radio City, New York.
This is the Minister of the Netherlands, Mr. Loudon, to bring you an official statement. Mr. Loudon.
A short while ago, I could speak with my colleague in London. He gave me the latest news which he had received directly from The Hague, and this seems not altogether unsatisfactorily. In the first place, I am extremely happy to state that the aid and assistance which has been promised by the Allies seem to be forthcoming very effectively. As far as our own troops are concerned and our own defense, I am happy to state the following facts. The Germans had landed a great number of parachutes on the Hook of Holland, which is the mouth of the River Maas. Those parachutists have all been destroyed. They had landed parachutists on the aerodrome near The Hague. That aerodrome has been recaptured. They had landed parachutists in the dunes and the beach about 10 miles north of The Hague. Those parachutists are being cleaned up. From another equally reliable source, I understand that the parachutists which were landed on the aerodrome near Amsterdam have all been destroyed. On the contrary, I'm sorry to state that Waalhaven, the aerodrome near Rotterdam, is still in German hands. On the other hand again, I had news that the Dutch army has repelled an attack on the Peel, which is a bog on the frontier with Germany between Limburg and Brabant. Again, a small and peaceful nation has been attacked. Again, a brutal and savage attack which was completely unwarranted by any action on the part of the Netherlands has been made. We had only one desire, that was to remain at peace with all the nations of the world and to keep our neutral status. Notwithstanding the fact that the Netherlands government and the Netherlands people have scrupulously refrained from any action or any utterance which might in any way be explained or interpreted as a deviation from the strictest neutrality, notwithstanding the fact that the Netherlands had no other desire than rigorously adhere to this attitude, the German government has seen fit suddenly and without any provocation to invade the country with her savage hordes and is now trying to overwhelm us by her sheer weight of numbers. This was done in spite of Germany's solemn promise that the neutrality of the Netherlands would be respected as long as we ourselves maintain that neutrality. And on top of this, Germany has seen fit to shield her heroic warriors under the uniform of a country she accuses of plotting against her. Seldom has there been in history a more unwarranted violation of good faith on the part of any nation, and a more brutal attack on all that is decent in the relations between cultured states, as we are witnessing now on the part of Germany. True to the principles it has always professed, the Netherlands are resisting this attack to the fullest extent of their power, and they will fight as long as there remains one German soldier on the Netherlands soil. There has been going on a steady propaganda from German source that we would not fight. I would like the American nation and the American people to understand that we keep the word we give. We have promised that we would fight, and we will fight, in contradiction with Germany, who promised not to attack and does attack without warning. As Her Majesty, my Queen, said in her proclamation this morning, the Netherlands nation, the people, and I, we will all do our duty. I thank you.
You have heard Mr. Loudon, the minister from the Netherlands, who brought you official news and read to you an official statement. Mr. Loudon spoke to you from the Chancellery Office of the Netherlands Legation in Washington. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The latest war news from the Associated Press. Neville Chamberlain has said farewell as Prime Minister of Great Britain.
the apostle of appeasement, broadcast his resignation to the empire, lifting his weary voice in an appeal for support of his successor, Winston Churchill. Chamberlain told the empire that I had no doubt that some new and drastic action would have to be taken to restore confidence after the debate in the House of Commons. Today, said Churchill, it was plain some unity could be attained under a new prime minister, and so he resigned. His voice heavy with emotion, Chamberlain spoke these final words as Britain's prime minister. You and I now must put all our strength behind the new government, and we must fight until this savage beast who has sprung from his lair at us is finally overthrown. War rages in the air. Swarms of German bombers smashed at airports at Brussels and Antwerp in Belgium, and near Rotterdam and Amsterdam in Holland. The large Valhaven airport outside of Rotterdam was the object of the most severe attack. The field was bombed, damaged, and its hangars destroyed. Then huge German transports began dropping soldiers from the sky. Fighting raged. Early reports declared the Germans overcame Dutch soldiers at the airport and began forging their way into the city of Rotterdam. But now the Nazi planes and the parachute troops are reported hurled back into a dangerous position by the attacks of reinforced Dutch troops and the pounding of Dutch artillery in the Rotterdam area. Hitler himself is directing operations along the 1,200-mile fighting front, directing his Nazi legions from secret general headquarters somewhere in the West. More reports from the new fighting front. Civil and military authorities in Nancy, France, announced that 16 persons were killed and 30 injured in bombing raids by German planes in the Nancy region. In Brussels, Belgian officials announced that 8 German planes were shot down during the day. And in Berlin, the German radio announces that Nazi troops have taken Maastricht, Holland, and Malmedy, Belgium. The Nazis crossed the Maas River with a few men on the West Dutch-German frontier at several points. The announcement claimed that bridges over the Albert Canal west of Maastricht are in German hands. The Albert Canal is part of Belgium's great defense system, and farther south, claim the Germans, troops moving along through Luxembourg crossed the Belgian frontier. Earlier today, American ambassador to Belgium, John Cuddy, told the United States State Department the German forces had overrun the whole of Luxembourg and all of Limburg, a province of Holland. French and British troops have crossed the Belgian frontier and are moving to meet the German invaders. A Paris military spokesman said the most gigantic battle of all time may be imminent. General Gamelin, commander-in-chief of the Allied armies, told his troops that Germany has begun a fight to death against us. Meanwhile, French Premier Reynaud reorganized his cabinet to include 2 extreme rightists. The Royal Air Force went into action over the Netherlands. The British Air Ministry announces that enemy-occupied airports had been attacked. It was added that German troops and concentrations were attacked and enemy aircraft engaged, but with what result, it was not stated. Meanwhile, the government braces its home defense for a possible attack on the British Isles. The public was warned to be on the lookout for German parachute troops, and a general call for volunteers was issued by the Air Ministry. A Dutch possession in the American hemisphere is at war with Germany. At Willemstad, Netherlands, West Indies, the governor proclaimed a state of war against Germany in the territory of Curaçao, a possession of the Netherlands. That was the first such declaration in the American hemisphere. And at the same time, 1,000 miles away, a state of martial law was proclaimed in the Dutch East Indies. President Roosevelt today expressed sympathy with the plight of the lowlands, but emphasized that America's position of neutrality had in no way been altered by the German attack on Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg. President Roosevelt also held a conference with departmental officials to discuss measures necessary to preserve American neutrality. Later, Secretary Hull indicated that consultations would be held with Latin American republics concerning the status of Dutch possessions in the Western Hemisphere. This war news from the Associated Press is presented to radio listeners as a public service. Further important details will be found in your Associated Press newspaper. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.
Outside of Rotterdam was the object of the most severe attack. The field was bombed, damaged, and its hangars destroyed. Then huge German transports began dropping soldiers from the sky. Fighting raged. Early reports declared the Germans overcame Dutch soldiers at the airport and began forging their way into the city of Rotterdam. But now the Nazi planes and parachute troops are reported hurled back into a dangerous position by the attacks of reinforced Dutch troops and the pounding of Dutch artillery in the Rotterdam area. And in Amsterdam, the commander-in-chief of the Netherlands Armed Forces tonight declared Germany's surprise attack on Holland a failure. Here's a bulletin from Paris. Allied and German troops established contact on Luxembourg's soil tonight, French military sources reported. They said contact was made by advance patrols scouting in the little Grand Duchy invaded by German forces this morning. Another report from the new fighting front. In Brussels, Belgian officials announced that 8 German planes were shot down during the day. And in Berlin, the German radio announces that Nazi troops have taken Maastricht in Holland and Malmedy in Belgium. The Nazis crossed the Maas River with a few men on the west Dutch-German frontier at several points. The announcement claimed that bridges over the Albert Canal west of Maastricht are in German hands. The Albert Canal is part of Belgium's great defense system. Farther south, claimed the Germans, troops moving forward through Luxembourg crossed the Belgian frontier. Earlier today, American Ambassador to Belgium John Cudahy told the United States State Department that German forces had overrun the whole of Luxembourg and all of Limburg, a province of Holland. French and British troops have crossed the Belgian border and are moving smoothly and steadily to meet the German invaders. A Paris military spokesman said the most gigantic battle of all time may be imminent. General Gamelin, commander-in-chief of the Allied armies, told his troops that Germany has begun a fight to death against us. Meanwhile, French Premier Reynaud reorganized his cabinet to include 2 extreme rightists. Then, too, the British Royal Air Force went into action over the Netherlands. The Air Ministry announced that enemy-occupied airports had been attacked. It was added that German troop concentrations were attacked and enemy aircraft engaged, but with what result was not stated. Meanwhile, the government braced its home defense for a possible attack on the British Isles. The public was warned to be on the lookout for German parachute troops, and a general call for volunteers was issued by the Air Ministry. A Dutch possession in the American hemisphere is at war with Germany. At Willemstad, Netherlands, West Indies, the governor proclaimed a state of war against Germany in the territory of Curaçao, a possession of the Netherlands. That was the first such declaration in the American hemisphere. At the same time, 11,000 miles away, a state of martial law was proclaimed in the Dutch East Indies. President Roosevelt today expressed sympathy with the plight of the lowlands, but emphasized that America's position of neutrality had in no way been altered by the German attack on Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg. President Roosevelt also held a conference with departmental officials to discuss measures necessary to preserve American neutrality. Later, Secretary Hull indicated that consultations would be held with Latin American republics concerning the status of Dutch possessions in the Western Hemisphere. This news from the Associated Press is presented to radio listeners as a public service. Further, important details will be found in your Associated Press newspaper. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.